In our Beyond Sunday series, we have had a statement of faith that has kind of tried to summarize and emphasize the important parts that we are talking about in this six-week series called Beyond Sunday. Would you join me in this statement of faith? We believe that God is the creator and sustainer of all things. God calls us to seek balance between work and rest. We are called to work with purpose and integrity, doing everything to honor God, knowing that labor and rest are both part of God's design. We believe that Jesus came to offer us abundant life. Knowing that Jesus himself celebrated life's simple joys and invited us to do the same. We believe the Holy Spirit fills us with contentment and gratitude as we are drawn to worship in spirit and truth, both in our hearts and in our actions. As disciples of Jesus, we are invited to be in relationship on Sunday morning as we seek to follow Jesus in every area of our daily lives. In all things, we are called to live as a reflection of the triune God, balanced in our work and rest, generous and joyful in our relationships, and content and worshipful in our hearts. Hear now a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 10 through 17. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you will have the same joy that I have. I also want your joy to be complete. Here is my command: love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you slaves anymore. Slaves do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I have told you everything I learned from my Father. You did not choose me. Instead, I chose you. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. I also appointed you so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. He will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Here is my command: love one another. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redemption, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a confession to make. I am excited about the Super Bowl. I'm excited about the soup in the fellowship hall. I've never really cared about football. When I was in high school, I used to go over to my friend Brittany's house after church. Her house was closer to church than mine was, and I'd have lunch with her family, and we'd watch football before going to youth group. A few years ago, when we both lived in North Carolina, Brittany and I went to Red Robin to watch the Cowboys play. That was her family's team. And she was into it, and she was excited, and she was cheering at the TV, and I was not paying any attention at all. And she noticed that I wasn't paying any attention, and I confessed that I never really cared about football. And she was astounded and felt like our whole friendship was a lie. Brittany is still a very important person in my life, and while I didn't care about the game, I did care about the time that I got to spend with her and her family having fun together around the TV and around the table. Since then, I have officiated her parents' vow renewal and her grandmother's funeral, and when you have fun and share life with people, you get to be a part of the wins and the losses. So I don't really care about football, but I am excited to have soup with you after worship. Last year, I went to Richmond for a continuing education event with other pastors who were going through the ordination process. One of the workshops stressed the importance for clergy to have hobbies. Who has a hobby? Most everybody's got some sort of hobby. Apparently, we pastor folk have a tendency to not take time for ourselves. While we care for our congregations and our families, we don't make time for hobbies. I found it interesting that they were not trying to get us to read our Bibles more or restructure our admin council or focus on church growth or take a preaching class or form a book club so we can make sure that we're reading all the most relevant books. No, they wanted us to think about what brings us joy. They wanted us to figure out how to make time to have fun. I can't say I've excelled at it, but I can say that it is important, and not just for me, but for all of us. So this weekend, I carved out 24 hours to spend time with my sister, my best friend, her sister, and all of the kids. We call it Sister's Weekend. I slept on an air mattress for a few short hours. I was awoken by the pitter-patter of small children's feet. They're not so small anymore. I think my nephew's almost wearing shoes that are bigger than mine. We cheered for Lucas while he played basketball. He was the only kid on the team that made a basket. We watched movies and ate yummy food together, but it was all really about the joy of being together, chaotic as it may have been. Our lives require balance. We have to work so that we can play, so that we can rest, so that we can be content, so that we can give, so that we can serve, so that we can worship. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 says, "There's a time for crying and a time for laughing, a time for mourning and a time for dancing." The entirety of our lives cannot be consumed by any one of these areas. Our lives of discipleship are made up of each of these areas added together. They are all parts of a whole. Our Christian lives are not meant to be burdensome. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. God's desire for us is to have joy as we follow Jesus. In our scripture this morning, Jesus tells his friends that joy comes through love. And love comes through a life aligned with Jesus' life and the life that God offers us. He asks us to keep his commandments, to love one another. Jesus calls his friends and asks us to love each other. Keeping commandments sounds like following rules, and rules and games don't sound like much fun, but games have rules. Football has rules. I don't know what they are, but they have them. The refs blow the whistles and stuff. The rules of a game are actually a key component in creating fun because they provide structure, challenge, and fairness, elements that can elevate the experience and make it more enjoyable. Games are most enjoyable when there are clear boundaries and goals. Rules define what is possible within the game world, providing a safe space where players can explore and interact. Without the rules, a game could feel chaotic and confusing, which would make it hard for players to enjoy themselves. In the context of our faith, rules are like commandments, the commandments that God gives us, just like the structure in a game, and these rules or instructions are there to guide us, not restrict us. They allow us to experience life to its fullest within the framework that helps us thrive. Rules are designed to create a challenge. In a game, players strive to overcome obstacles or complete tasks, which can lead to a sense of accomplishment. The difficulty of a game, if balanced right, keeps players engaged and motivated to keep playing. Similarly, the challenges we face in life and the boundaries of our faith often provide opportunities for growth, and the rewards we experience in faith, such as joy, peace, and a deeper relationship with God and one another. These are all the more meaningful because we work towards them, because we have to practice, because we have to learn. And when you're playing a team sport, you know that you don't overcome the obstacles or challenges on your own. You can rely on your team and know that you aren't alone. Excuse me. Games are often more fun when we play them with others because the shared understanding of the rules brings people together. They create a common experience and allow for connection, teamwork, and fun. I have cough drops. Excuse me. Did test yesterday, promise. Games are often more fun when we play them with others because the shared understanding of rules brings people together. They create a common experience and allow for connection and teamwork and fun. Rules make it possible for people to engage meaningfully with one another. Similarly, the rules or guidelines of our faith help us build community. When we understand the shared principles of love, respect, and justice, we can come together to build a vibrant and supportive community. Our shared experience of joy and fun in God's presence is rooted in the common understanding of Jesus' love for us. Just as we wouldn't expect a game to be fun without clear rules, our lives of faith aren't meant to be dull or oppressive when we follow God's design for us. The rules are there to help us enjoy life to the fullest. And all we have to remember is one rule: love one another. Jesus loved his friends. Jesus loved a celebration. Jesus loved to break bread around the table. He turned water into wine. He told the story of the prodigal son and the lavish party that his father threw in his return, the return of the lost son. He spent time with people. He called the disciples his friends. What do you like to do with your friends? How do you have fun? Do you enjoy shared activities? Do you share a love of crafting? Do you watch sports? Do you have a drink? Do a project? Go for a walk, go to the gym, sing or play in a band or choir, play disc golf, play video games, sit and laugh, sit and cry. We need our friends, we need joy, we need each other. And that's why we plan trips to the movies, Super Bowl Sunday, Hilltoppers, a talent show, Trunk or Treat, and all sorts of activities throughout the year, because this is a place where we experience life together, the highs and the lows. All the most influential moments of my life happened while I was worshiping, serving, praying, learning, and growing in my faith during summer youth mission choir. I have meaningful relationships to this day because of the fun we had together as we lived together as a nomadic portion of the body of Christ for just 2 weeks every summer. As adults in the church, we may not share the community housing that we did in youth summer camp, but we don't have to sleep on pew cushions or on air mattresses. Thanks be to God. But I think we take church too seriously when we could embrace this time, when we have the opportunity to be together and just have fun and have life together. A lot of times people think about religious people, maybe people outside of the church think about religious people. We think about monks and people in monasteries and wearing robes and keeping silent, and that may be a calling for some, but for us, we're called to love one another, to laugh together, to sing together, to worship together, and worship and prayer can be fun, to serve together, to share life together. Ask anybody who's here on Wednesday, if it's not freezing cold and raining, we're usually having fun. We're here for each other when it matters. We accomplish that here in these walls during our worship, around the tables in our fellowship hall, out in the parking lot sharing food with our neighbors, but more so in the places and spaces beyond Sunday, and the phone call to a friend you haven't seen in a while, in the errand you ran for a friend, in the soup you dropped off, in the game night, the bonfire, the pool party. Our church is a place for friendship and family and fun. And our church is wherever we, the people, are living life together. Our faith shouldn't be boring. It should be challenging and exciting. It should be something we enjoy as we grow closer to God and one another. And there's just one rule. Love one another. Amen.
Let us enter a time of prayer together. We will begin by sharing our mission prayer, then I will pray some words, and then we will pray in song. Let us pray.
God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit, while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Loving God and source of all of our joy, we praise you today for your loving and powerful ways. We thank you for the wondrous world you have created, where seasons come and go as you have ordained. In this winter season, when much of nature is at rest, restoring its energy for the more active times ahead, help us to take time to breathe deeply, to live gently, to allow your spirit to move in ours with healing and grace and joy. We confess our need for your wisdom today. It is a time of uncertainty and division and chaos in our nation and in our world. So we ask for you to guide and inspire our leaders and all of us to live with more compassion and more wisdom, whether in the halls of government or in our neighborhoods, homes, and places of work and play. And later today, a good chunk of humankind will slow down to watch a game. And we ask, Lord, that this opportunity for joy and for wholesome fun will be unifying. And we pray that you'll keep families safe and tempers cool and addictions at bay. Lord, you know the prayers in each of our hearts this morning, so we take this moment to silently or to quietly express them before you. And later this week, we take a day to celebrate love. We thank you, Lord, for our most heartfelt relationships. We ask you to strengthen marriages and all sacred bonds. We believe, O God, that you are love, and that your Son, Jesus, is the greatest love message ever sent. So help us to learn and practice his ways in all that we do. And we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.